Blog Talk Radio.
Together. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sitting here looking at Pastor Mom. She is still in the rehab right now. And they just came and did some work with her this morning. And she is absolutely asleep. She is resting. So we're going to go ahead and let her rest this morning. She's doing well, everyone. She is doing well. The pain that she was experiencing in her leg from the surgery, she's not experiencing that anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we just know that God is healing her, and he's doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. Amen. So let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, thank you for being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president, and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. People of the United States, lead us and guide us. Bless this service in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank and praise God for what he's doing, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. In the name of Jesus. And we just thank and praise the Lord. Let's go on to our scripture this morning, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. Let's read it together. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Amen. And let's go on to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. And let's read that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. And so those of you who have been with us, you know that the Lord has given us a charge and a challenge to learn more about his names, his character, and his nature. He wants us to know about him. And so we've been doing Pearls to Ponder every Sunday, and he has given us a different pearl to ponder every month. This month, the pearl to ponder, thinking about him, his name, his character, his nature, this month is fire. Hallelujah. So we went through seeing that God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. He's the refiner's fire. He's a devouring fire. Even his ministers, a flame of fire. Hallelujah. And amen. So that's what we've been talking about this month, him as a fire. Now, this morning, the scripture that we're looking at is in the Song of Songs. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, the Song of Songs is about love. It's about God's love for his bride. And Solomon and the Shulamite woman, but it's really, we're really looking at God and his relationship with us, with the bride of Christ. And so Song of Songs 8 in verse 6 says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal arm. This is the NIV version. I looked at several of them. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. And get this, it burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Some of the other renditions of that particular scripture, that part were about the flame and the fire. It flames, it's flames, and we're talking about love. Love's flames are flames of fire, the flame of the Lord. Amen. That's what the NASB says. And then the NCB says, love bursts into flames and burns like a hot fire. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the love of God, it's not a cold love. It's not a casual love. The love of God is like fire, like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Hallelujah. Very passionate. And his love really burns out everything that's not like him and burns in who he is into us. And when this scripture, I couldn't help but look up other parts of the scripture because it's a lot to it, and there's a lot more around it, but we're going to try to stay focused a bit today with our pearls to ponder. But when it says, place me like a seal over your heart, a seal is, back in those days, a seal was something that you put on like, to show authority. It was something that was used to show, you know, I'm doing this and I have authority to do it. This is my seal to show that I have authority. And when you look back in Joseph, the coat of many colors, when Pharaoh turned everything over to him, Pharaoh gave him his seal. So he had authority to do things. And then also with Mordecai, in Esther, when King Ahasuerus wanted Mordecai to have his authority, he gave him his seal. And so when this is the Shulamite woman saying to Solomon, or the bride of Christ saying to the Lord, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. So this seal is to say, Lord, hallelujah, you have authority in my life. Whatever you want to do in my life, God, you can do it. You have the authority to do it all. Put me like a seal on your heart. And then it says, like a seal on your arm. So it's like, I want to be a seal on your heart to say you have authority over me privately on your heart. And then I want it on your arm. I want it publicly for everybody to know that you are my God. Hallelujah. And my seal, my seal is on your heart. Hallelujah. And I could go through much more, but I'm going to, pearls upon is supposed to be short. So, but ponder on that. The love of God, it says, is as strong as death and jealousy unyielding as the grave. And we find out later with the Lord Jesus Christ that love is not just as strong as death, it's stronger than death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So, hallelujah. So that's a lot to ponder on. We went to fire and we went beyond fire. Now, there's a song that I found, I should say, that the Lord led me to, okay? The name of the song is Set My Love as a Seal on Your Heart. And I'm telling you, I've been pondering that thing. Amen. And the fire. His love that flashes is so passionate. It's so consuming. Hallelujah. And this song, Set My Love as a Seal on Your Heart, it's an older song. I think it's probably about 15, 20 years old. And it comes from an album called The Atmosphere by Steve Swanson and Joanne McFadder. And many years ago, we used to listen to Joanne McFadder before anybody was loving on God like that with a Christian song. Joanne McFadder was doing it a long time ago, like about 30 years ago. And so here are some of the lyrics. I was trying to get them all, but the lyrics are, stronger than death and the grave is my love for you. Burning desire. Fiery flame is my love for you. And as you come to me in your jealousy, holding on to me, your voice in the night sets my spirit free. As you sing to me, you're branding me as your very own. Set my love as a seal on your heart. And they sing that three times. And then this is a part that really kind of got to me too. I want to love you the way that you love me. Hallelujah. With that fiery, blazing fire. Hallelujah. So this is the song, Set My Love as a Seal on Your Heart. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Set my love as a seal on your heart. Hallelujah. Lord, you have authority. Glory to God. You have authority. We talked about our permission a while back. Hallelujah. The Lord has authority, absolutely. And he has our permission to just burn in our heart like flame, like fire. Hallelujah. Amen. So ponder on that pearl for a while. Glory to God. It will surely bless you. Amen. Glory. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we set you as a seal on our heart, on your heart. Hallelujah. And you're a seal on our heart, too. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our declarations today, and we're still open for testimony. I didn't say this today yet, but, you know, we do have our guest church here with us, and we will introduce them in a little while here. I see that they are all here. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're looking forward to hearing from them today, the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, this morning. Amen. I'm so excited about them. Hallelujah. We're going to go to our time of declaration. It's going to be kind of a short declaration today, but a friend of mine, Pastor Reddick, he sends text to us every now and then, and he was saying yesterday, he was saying that it's time to begin to declare on a daily basis this declaration that he sent out. Amen. And this is a prophecy that we're prophesying over our own life. And hallelujah. And that these words that we speak will become a reality. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thought it was good. So I wanted to share it. And as we get ready to share it, Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. So repeat this declaration after me, because we need to declare some things over our lives even more, and then even on a daily basis, declaring things about ourselves over our life, prophesying into our own lives with our own mouth by the Spirit of the Lord. So repeat after me, no weapon, I will live out my days in good health, with a clear mind, with a good memory, with clarity of thought. My youth is being renewed every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was short, but it was sweet. Amen. And that said a whole lot in a little bit of time. Amen. Hallelujah. We need that clear mind and good memory, clarity of thought. Hallelujah. With so many things going on today. And I'll put this in here. I know it's on your heart. It's been on my heart too. The latest thing that happened with the five police officers and beating on the young man. You know, there's some things that we need to declare and decree, you know, out in the open these days. There's so much going on, and in so many different ways. But the Lord has really pinpointed this thing. And what it is lawlessness. You know, I saw it as it was trying to come in, this lawlessness. And I believe that even this thing that happened with the police officers, so we can't say, oh, this was a race thing, because it was all black guys involved in it. The police were black. The man that they killed was black. And so we can't put the race thing in it. And so it makes it very clear by his spirit to see that this is a spirit of lawlessness. And the thing about it was the five police were the law. And so that's really saying what I'm hearing in the spirit is the Lord is letting us know that even the law is lawless. Even the law has become lawless. And so we pray over that. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just lift that up right now in Jesus' name. We come against that spirit of lawlessness and disregard for life and that will do anything that lawless spirit wants to do. The blood of Jesus is over it right now. And we thank you, Lord God, that it goes beyond the law. It goes beyond the law and turns into love in the name of Jesus. We come against every bit of lawlessness and say, Lord, only you can turn it into love. Only you can take the stony hearts out of those who are lawless and give them a heart of flesh, a heart where they'll love people and not be lawless. And Father God, we just thank you for it right now and give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's one of the things I wasn't thinking I was going to say, but glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go into some praise and worship. And I believe this goes well with even the declaration and even the prayer that was just prayed, we're going to believe for it. Hallelujah. We're going to believe for it and believe that nothing is impossible with God. This is C.C. Winans. Let's have a time of praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe for it. Glory to God. When we see all of these things going on around and about us, we're believing God for a breakthrough. We're believing God for miracles. Hallelujah. We're believing God to move mountains that seem to be insurmountable, especially as we see all this lawlessness try to lay hold in the land, but it cannot lay hold. It cannot set in. Hallelujah. Even in our lives, it cannot set in, lay hold, or go any course, but must cease and desist in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is above every name, and every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord reminds me, as his word says, where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. Hallelujah. So we're about to see a serious revival here. Amen. Because that grace that by faith are we saved and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is coming up on this land in the name of Jesus. His grace is greater than all of this lawlessness and all of this sin that we've been seeing around us. And what our part to do to hold on to the word of God and believe what he has said to us. Hallelujah. Believe for it. Amen. Amen. No, I'm not preaching today, but I seem to have a little preach on me. Praise God. Yeah, we do have Pastor Price and the Memphis Covenant Faith Church with us this morning. We're going to say our prayer over our finances and have an opportunity to give. And then we're going to have our sermon for today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So praying over finances. Oh, boy, I have been hearing so many things about money these days. Well, hear what I'm saying and still take it to the Lord, okay? I'm just going to share this with you. But you pray about it and you take it to the Lord. There's a young prophetess who's online. I listen to some of the things that she says. Her name doesn't come to me right this minute. But she was talking about money and that the Lord had been talking to her about money and what was going on. And many years ago, I have to look it up again too, the Lord said to me, money has failed. And I was like, whoa. So this was, I don't know, maybe around 2008 or before then, he said, money has failed. So this young prophetess that I do not know personally, she said that what she heard from the Lord was that the banks are going to fail. Not credit unions, but banks are going to fail. So I just began to pray again, you know, and seeking the Lord and asking him, like, you know, what to do. And what I'm hearing so far is it's not happening right now, but begin to prepare yourself, you know, and most of our money is going into a bank, you know, whatever we get in, whether it's Social Security, whether it's our paychecks or anything like that, it usually goes straight to the bank. There's not coming in a check where you go cash the check and stuff like that. So just be prayerful and ask the Lord, you know, should you move it over to a credit union? What should you do with your money? Or if he just says just leave it like that, leave it where it is, don't move nothing, then do what the Lord says to do. That's the safest place for every one of us, is to do what he says to do. Another thing that I'm hearing, and, you know, I got to say this. I got up this morning and put on chocolate brown. I have not worn chocolate brown in I don't know how long. That to me means the Lord wants to prophesy. Hallelujah. And so he's speaking prophetically, deeply prophetically this morning, because that's how he works with me, with colors. And brown is, John the Baptist came wearing camel skin, and he was prophesying that the Messiah was coming. Hallelujah. So I'm in deep brown today, so I would say please excuse me, but that's where I am today. Hallelujah. So what else I'm hearing, in the spirit, and as I say to you again, you pray about it and see what God wants you to do about it. I'm hearing things about water. And I know that there's been water shortages in different places. Also with boil water mandates in areas where you never thought they would tell you that you had to boil your water. Where I live right now, they are not telling us to boil the water, but the water don't look right. You know how water looks. The water does not look right. And so what the Lord told me to do, and you pray and see what he tells you to do, but what he told me to do is to get one of those water purification pitchers, so you can put the water into the pitcher of water and let it get filtered, rather than going out and buying a whole bunch of bottled water and just using it to cook with. And that's a way to do it as well. That's what some people do. But I was led to get the water purification container and put the water in there. And the one I got, it purifies 200 gallons of water before you have to get another one. So that's what I'm led now to use when I'm cooking, when I'm washing off vegetables and things like that, because I know, and ain't nobody said it publicly, something ain't right with the water. So, amen. And you're in a different area than I'm in, so he may not be saying anything like that to you, but I just wanted to share it with you. Praise God. So let's go on with our prayer for finances. Oh, and if anyone has any confirmation on that, text me, or if you want to say something online this morning, press your number one key. Amen. Amen. So let's pray over our finances. Any testimonies on that, please let me know, and we'll make room for you to be able to give that testimony to bless all of us. Okay, so repeat this prayer after me. Lord, I commit my finances to you. Be in charge of them and use them for your purpose. Show me how I can help increase my finances and not decrease them unwisely. Help me to remember that all I have belongs to you and to be grateful for it. May I always be paid well for the work I do. And may my money not be stolen, lost, devoured, destroyed, or wasted. Multiply it. So what I have and what I make will go a long way. I pray that I will not be anxious about finances, but will seek your kingdom first, knowing that as I do, I will have all I need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I know y'all hear Pastor Mom. She woke up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Mom. She woke up with a big smile on her face. Hallelujah. Amen. There's three ways that you can give to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We have a Cash App, and our Cash App is $ESLCCC. That's $ESLCCC. And that stands for the first letters in East St. Louis Christian Center Church. If you're at the Heritage House, you can also give at the door. And it's at 2E. Amen. You can also mail in your checks, your tithes, your offerings. You can also mail it in to mail it in by check and make the check payable to ESLCCC. And we're at 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Amen. Amen. So for those of you who are writing your checks, those of you who are doing a Cash App right now, we're going to pray over our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord God. We just thank you right now for those who are giving tithes. You told us to try you and test you on this. Hallelujah. In Malachi chapter 3, you said, try you on this, that we to give 10% of whatever we get in and see won't you open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings that would be too much for us to receive. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I think this is the only place in the Bible where the Lord says, try me on this, test me on this. Come on now. Amen. And then on top of him pouring from the windows of heaven, he also said that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. So our money won't be lost, it won't be stolen, it won't be devoured, it won't be wasted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if what we're hearing about banks failing, that won't have any impact on us, because the Lord will tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. He'll give us the strategies that we need. Hallelujah. And more than anything that I have learned over the years is that favor means more than money. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, and so then for those who gave offerings today, Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms. Hallelujah. And so God can cause people to just give to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you have given to him, and he can cause an overflow of money to be given to you in the name of Jesus. And then we always stand on Deuteronomy 1, 10, and 11 that says that God will make you a thousandfold more than you are right now and bless you as he has promised you. And so, Lord Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we thank you for doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. We give you praise for it now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. As we get ready to turn everything over to Pastor Price and the Memphis Covenant Faith, we're going to do one more praise and worship song. We're going to stay on CC today. Hallelujah. And hear and worship to the goodness of God. Hallelujah.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able,
your goodness is running after me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we have, as we said earlier, we have the Memphis Covenant Faith Church as our guest church today. Senior pastor, Pastor Helen Price, amen, who has been such a blessing to us on Get 'Em Radio and our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Hallelujah. I just thank God how they all, her, Minister Joy, Minister Amber, have been such a supporter to us and just walking alongside us, helping us with so many things behind the scenes and even on the scene. So without any further ado, we want to introduce to some and present to all Memphis Covenant Faith, senior pastor, Pastor Helen Price. We're going to turn the service over to you all. Love you. Welcome.
God bless you, Apostle. Is my microphone on?
Yes, hello? I hear you very well.
Okay, we always do that, have to establish if it's on or not. God bless you, Apostle. And what a wonderful already the service, that deep chocolate brown, that prophetic has been coming forth today. I want to thank God. Glory to God. I want to thank God for you, Apostle, and for East St. Louis Christian Center Church. I want to thank God for Mama. Pastor Mama, I'm glad you woke up and we could hear you. We were just excited when we can hear you, and when they were decreeing the word of God over our finances. I just thank God for you, Mom. This is Helen. This is your daughter, Helen. And I love you, Mom, and God bless you. And I thank God for today. And again, I want to thank you all for inviting us, Apostle and Pastor Mom, to invite us to be able to do the fifth Sunday of the month. What an honor and a privilege it is. And we count that an honor and a privilege. And we thank God for you and for the word that we've thus heard. What a confirmation today. Apostle, so much is a confirmation of what God was already speaking to our hearts on things. And so to my heart.
Hallelujah.
And so I just thank God. Hallelujah. Yes, I thank God for the word that we've thus heard today. And I'll mention that one in the time when I give the message that God has had for me to give today. And I want to thank God for my daughters, for Joy and for Amber, who we used to say, Apostle, do you remember when you used to come to California and minister at the church there in Los Angeles? And
yes.
you would say, we, and they would always say, we are. Do you remember? What was that, Prophets in Training?
Prophets,
you remember
that? Yeah, Prophets in Training.
You remember that, Apostle, how we used, we are. And they would, I mean, those young people would just decree and declare that thing, and we thank God. And, Mom, you would come and minister the word. They loved when both of you all came, Apostle, your mom, that would come and minister. And I thank God for the both of you all. I'm glad to say this as I get ready to turn for Joy and Amber to give the word that God has placed upon their heart. Listen, precious saints of God, I'm going to say something in a few seconds, but I want you all to know, We are not looking to tarry real long today with you today. We know that in our hour it's getting late, but mine, I pray that it will go, you know, rather quickly, but also be a blessing to each one of our hearts. We go on Friday nights, we go on my brother Herbert McCoy's program, Friday Night Light, and his ministry is the Point Christian Fellowship. And that point, he always says, get to the point. It's like, get to the point. They don't hold you real long, but they get to the point. And it'd be some very, very good points. My brother, Pastor Mark McCoy, ministered on the last three Fridays. He's ministered on the last three Fridays. And what a richness of the word that came through Pastor Mark and comes through all the saints that comment on that time. It's just richness. So we're looking to get to the point today, and we praise God for that. And as I get ready to say this, I said before I turn it over to Joy and Amber, one of the things I love about, and I have a special love for East St. Louis Christian Center, because of the fact that in 1990, I can remember that right before 1990, God had ministered to my heart and said, I want you to go to East St. Louis and to be able to begin a church, the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. And it's so wonderful to see the moms on still on the east side of St. Louis now. So there's East St. Louis, glory to God. And when he spoke that to me that long ago time, what a great blessing that I watched and saw that how he established it and how when it was turned over to Pastor Mom, not just turned over to her, wasn't just turned over to her in the sense of turning over to her. Mom had been ordained and licensed into the ministry, but she was one of the founding ministers of East St. Louis Christian Center. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Just so faithful. And I saw what God was doing and then I saw the favor of God upon Pastor Mom's life. I'm telling you, when God had her to take over the helm of and that's been now 26 years ago when she took over. Now, the church, if you would look at it, was at 10, 20, 30. I think it's 30. The church is 32 years old. This year will be, Lord willing, 33 years old. But 26 of those 30 years, 30-some years, Mom became the pastor of the church. And I saw God do exceeding abundant. I saw him opening doors in places that only he could do for her. I saw God draw people to the ministry there and ones that because of the greatness of the love of God in mom's life, God could be able to lay the word by the Spirit of God in their lives. And so I just want to salute Pastor Mom today. I just want to say thank God for Pastor Mom and going forth in what God has called her to do. And then, of course, I didn't know many years ago with Apostle Kizzy, I didn't know all that God was going to do in her life. All I know was that wherever my sister went, whatever my sister, wherever she went, that God would always send me to wherever she was. And sometimes I remember coming one time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and coming there, and I was having fasting for 10 days. And they had opened up a new, oh, Lord, what's the name of that restaurant? But they had opened up a new restaurant, or kind of a restaurant that was there in Albuquerque. And I had been on 10 days, I think, on water. When you get off of 10 days on water, You really should take it easy. You should go and drink a little, they say have some soup or something. And so they took me, if Apostle can remember the name of the place, because now it's not as famous, and it's not, sometimes in some places it's not as good as it was in Albuquerque at that time. But this particular restaurant we went to, and I had ordered, I got a steak. After 10 days. Applebee's, that's it, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for reminding. But see, at that time, Applebee's, sometimes the ones that we go to now, are not as good as they were. But back then, that was the thing back then. And they were really good. I don't know if they're good now in some other places. They may be where you live at. It's good. But I ate a steak, and I was saying, oh, Lord, don't let it hurt me, Lord. Don't let it hurt me, Lord. After 10 days, being on 10-day fast and coming out breaking that fast, eating a steak at Applebee's. But it didn't hurt me, and I was so grateful to God for that. And so over the many years that God has had us together, little did I know that God would send her to East St. Louis, really in the St. Louis area, because she came, my mom was still, was in the St. to take care of and to be able to be one of the, her and Pastor Catherine are the primary caretakers of mom by the Holy Ghost. And then, we noticed something. I had been, if you took maybe, I think, 26 from 30-something, 6 from 13, 87, maybe it was about 7 years that the church had been established, but they kept, I had made a song book. The God had given me a song, a book. And what was so amazing there was in the Heritage House, those people loved those songs. And I was so glad that, as an apostle will set things in order, lay foundations and set things in order by the Holy Ghost. And God began to have apostle to apostolically work with Pastor Mom in the work of the ministry there. And as they began, those they kept some of the songs that were there, but they got the newer songs, even some brand new songs that God had given to Apostle. And not only the songs, but she made song books that they would pass out every Sunday. And the people there in Heritage House, I tell you, they look like they love those songs. But she also revamped a lot of things, which I was so grateful to God for. So this is East St. Louis Christian Center is like one of the babies that God had to establish through me, but then he turned that baby over. He turned it over to Pastor Mom. He turned it over to Apostle so that they could be able to go forth and do what God would tell them to do. So I just have a special love for East St. Louis Christian Center. I count it an honor. We don't do anything about scratching nobody's back. It's not that you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. That's not it. We're led by the Spirit of God. What to do, when to do, and how to do it. So, Mom, Pastor Mom, I want to say again, I love you. Apostle, I want to say I love you. And I also thank both of you all for going forth in the work of the ministry that God has called you all to. And I give God glory and honor and praise. I just was led at this time to say that. Why, I don't know, but he said, share that thing. Sometimes we don't know the vital connections between people and ministries and what God is doing and how he is doing it. But we give him glory in advance, and we worship him. So I'm going to ask now, as we come, I'm going to ask if Amber and Father God, as we just come this day, again, we count it an honor and a privilege, Lord God, to join in ministry here at East St. Louis Christian Center. They have taken care of your baby, Lord God. They have kept your baby going, Lord God. This is your baby, Lord God, East St. Louis Christian Center. And we thank you. We worship you, Lord God, for what you've done. And we thank you now again for having your way today. Thank you for moving by your spirit, Father God. Thank you for confirming your word with signs and wonders following. Thank you for your word going forth today unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces. Thank you, Father God, and we thank you for speaking through us with clarity, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with a good understanding. Let none of us this day go away from this place the same, Lord God. Encourage our heart. Give us your wisdom, your insight, your understanding, your strategies, Lord God, for what you would have us to do and how you would have us to do it. We love you. We honor you, Father God. We give you glory in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. And we pray that you would meet every person this day. Lord, it's not about us spinning wheels. Meet each one of us at the point of our need today. Lord, I'm getting a sense of something. I bind, rebuke, forbid, arrest, and resist every work of the devil and his cohorts. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus and command every spirit that is not of God to bow its knee to the name that's above every name of Jesus, to the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. I plead the blood of Jesus over this particular service. I plead the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God. And I pray, Lord God, the canopy of your glory as a defense and as a protection over every man, woman, boy, and girl, but who is listening now and those who will later listen in the future, should you tarry to come in Jesus' name. Odra mandes de bede que anda. Odra mandes de bede que anda. Doko odra basia. Touch hearts, Lord God. Turn hearts towards you, Lord God. Odra mandes de bede que anda. Doko odra basia. Let your love prevail in our hearts today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Our faith works and operates by love. Let love go forth. Let love. He condo no ho shata. Hold Rabasia. He sounded it a hold Rabasia in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we commit and commend this to you and to the word of your grace. Touch hearts. Lord, take away any stony hearts. Take away any bitter hearts. Take away any bitterness, any anger, any rage, Lord God. Lord God, from anybody. Take it away, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, let our hearts, Lord God, turn our hearts. You hold the king's heart in your hand. Turn our hearts towards you and your love. Shed love abroad in our hearts. Seal us to the day of redemption. Help us to keep our eyes on you during this time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Odra mandes, and we love you. We honor you. We reverence you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We can overcome. We can overcome things. We can overcome things by the Spirit of God. We can overcome it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. Do I move forward, Father? We give you praise. We give you praise, and we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, that I'm on this day, God said, let it go. God said, let it go, let it go. Oh, that I'm on this day, baby, King Honda. Oh, that I'm on this day, baby, King Honda. And Lord, we love you. We honor you. We honor you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Joy, will you come with the word that the Lord has laid upon your heart for today? And then Amber, will you come after Joy? Joy, will you come, please? Joy, your microphone is not showing. I'm still not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
The line is open. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, good morning, Grandma. Good morning. Good morning to all.
Good morning.
The message I have today is Fries and the Ointment. I was listening to a message earlier this week by Jensen Franklin, Pastor Jensen Franklin, and it caught my attention. And you can look at the whole thing on YouTube or online, but I got a little excerpt from it, and I want to read it today. And today's scripture comes from Ecclesiastes 10:1. That's Ecclesiastes 10:1. It says, dead flies putrefy the perfume ointment, and causes to give off a foul odor. So does a little foolishness outweighs a lot of wisdom and honor. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Now the perfume's ointment or oil was an expensive, fragrant perfume. It was precious and handcrafted and considered quite a luxury. We probably most familiar with this ointment in the scripture from the story of the alabaster box. When a woman broke open her precious oil and poured it all over it on the feet of Jesus, it was the cost of a year's wage, likely the most valuable possession she owned. Here, Ecclesiastes says this precious ointment can be ruined by flies, and then likened the flies to sin. Just as a little folly can ruin a reputation, what takes time to build can be stripped in a moment. Perhaps this is why Satan is called the Lord of Flies, Beelzebub, like flies in our homes, if we are not careful to protect against sin entering our lives. It will multiply and leave a repulsive stench. There are certain people, Christians, co-workers, classmates, or friends with stenches. Instead of them attracting people to Jesus, they repel people. I've never met anybody like that. It's almost like people run when they walk in the room because their spirit ain't right. I think we need to understand this a little bit more. By hearing about flies in oil, it piqued my interest, and I started looking online and started researching everything I could find on flies. And I just want to give you what I learned. I found out that there is a fly family. Yes, a fly family. For example, did you know that there are butterflies, and the butterflies are the largest of the fly family? It is external beauty. But what was interesting, it is the weakest member of the fly family. It looks beautiful outward, but it's very weak internally. Externally, everything looks gorgeous and beautiful. Internally, it is devoured by smaller bugs. It has no inner strength. An example is Samson. Samson had great times when the Spirit came on him. He did powerful, mighty things, but then he laid his head in the lap of Delilah. He was a butterfly. Everything would have looked and said, what a handsome man and beautiful hair, Samson. What a powerful person who is walking with God and anointing. But the truth is flies got in, and something internally was not happening. That was happening. And it's a lot of show, but not enough glow on the inside. Think about that. Then, interestingly, I found another member of the fly family. I'm just going to give you three, but found one that was called the robber fly. Yes, the robber fly. And I thought, well, I got to preach that one. It's a little fly with big wings. Makes a lot of noise. I couldn't believe it. And what it does is it lets the other flies gather food and go back to get some more. And it will swoop in. And they said it makes a lot of noise and whistling noise all the time, except when it's stealing. And then it gets real quiet, the robber flies. So many people do the same thing. Think about it. And there are some robber flies in the church. Malachi 3 said, will a man rob God? He said, but you robbed me in tithes and offerings. And God said, but prove me in this area. He didn't leave me in a negative. He said, prove me in this area and see if you do what I tell you to do. If I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it. Lastly, the third one was the one that really got my interest in the fire family. As Christians, we sin sometimes, and sin is like flies. Sin is like a particular member of the fly family, the mosquito. Do you know what they said that mosquitoes spread? Sickness and disease. And they do it all through the blood. The mosquitoes comes in almost always undetected and lifts the blood from you. it leaves a blemish on the outside, but it's what happens inside, unseen, that can be so deadly. Sin comes for the blood, too. The blood of Jesus. The blood that protects you, that cleanses you, that makes your life fragrant a moment to the Lord. If you are not careful, sin will sneak in just like the flies, like the mosquitoes, and begin to slowly lift the blood. Don't let it. The good news is God gave us a gift that keeps sin away. Like mosquitoes are attracted to still water, stagnant Christians are a breeding ground for sin. But where the Spirit flows freely, just like fresh water, sin cannot grow. God gave us the Holy Spirit, a river of living water. Mosquitoes are not attracted to moving water. If you are ready to get sin out your life, if you are ready to receive healing and blessings from above, then trouble the water. When the water is moving, those mosquitoes won't stay around. And when you allow the river of living water, the Holy Spirit, to move in your life, sin won't win. Even if you're made a mistake, if you're in the middle of a battle, you feel you just can't win. The truth about that verse, Ecclesiastes 10:1, is that the flies were dead. Yes, sin comes to destroy. It leaves a trail of disaster and, like the flies in the ointment, a stench. But that precious oil, the anointing of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life will defeat sin. Flies can't survive in oil. Mosquitoes are not attracted to moving water. And sin cannot prevail in you if you are in Christ Jesus. The thing I want to close with is when I read Ecclesiastes 10, it said, dead flies are in the ointment. And I got a streak of joy that went through me. I never seen it like this. Always read that as a kind of a negative thing. And I even preached it at the beginning as a negative thing. But the more I thought about it, dead flies in the ointment. The thing that I can guarantee will kill the flies, every one of them in the fly family, is fresh oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the anointed one. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he is anointing, and I feel that anointing today. Psalms 23 says, thou anoints my head with oil. So the shepherd, when he sees one struggling, will take oil and pour it over the head, because there was something in the oil that just repels the insects, and particularly the serpents, because their noses were down. And it will cause them to back up. That is the picture that the psalmist David said. He anoints your head. You're thinking, don't we realize the battleground? Some people are fighting depression, discouragement, fear, worry, anxiety. But the Lord says, I promise you, I got the weapon that kills all those flies. It's called, I Should Anoint Your Head with Oil. You don't have to be bound by depression and fear and discouragement and the past and guilt and shame. But he anoints you with something that kills the flies. This is what we have to do. We need a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit. We need it. We can't make it off of yesterday. We can't live off of what God used to do. He is here now. He is a miracle worker now. He can help you now. Hallelujah. We yearn for a move of the Holy Spirit. Tell yourself and somebody there's a miracle in the movement. And I have a prayer today. It says, Father, anoint our head with oil today so that your cup overflows with blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, what a word, what a word, what a word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The oil will kill the almond, will kill the fly. He anoints our head with oil. Hallelujah. Thou hast the weapon that will kill all those flies. A fresh moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now, Amber, will you come with the word? Thank you, Joy, so much. Glory to God. Thank you, Joy. Thank God for that word that you gave. Glory to God. And Amber, will you come with the word that the Lord has laid upon your heart? Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Good morning, and hello to Pastor Grandma and Apostle Aunt Barbara and to everyone who is listening today and who will listen. My message for today is called Relying on God, and it's so important that we continually rely on God and not on ourselves, so that we can have fully trust and have success in our lives. And the first part of today is I'm going to start with the definition of what rely means. To rely means to depend on with full trust or confidence. And that is what we should do for our Heavenly Father. We should depend on Him with our full trust and our confidence. And in order to do that, we must train ourselves to constantly rely on Him. And it's so easy to rely on ourselves or others when we think that we can do it by ourselves, but no, we cannot. So we must train ourselves to rely on our Heavenly Father. And in 1 Timothy 4:7-8, it says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. So as we train ourselves to rely on God and train ourselves for godliness, we have promised benefits in this life. So we have benefits come with relying on God. Benefits come with trusting in our Father God. And it's so important that we know that we cannot do everything on our own. It's okay to ask our Father God for help, and we can rely on Him. And even though relying on ourselves might seem like it's the easy thing to do, no, it's not. We must rely on our Father God because with our human emotions and ideas and things like that, it can shift some things of what God really wants us to do. So by relying on our Father God, it will shift our focus to Him and what He wants us to do. And in Mark 10:27, in the CEV, it says, Jesus looked to them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. So when we're trying to figure things out, how this is going to happen, what's not going to happen, what to do, we can go to our Father God because He can do anything. And it's so important that we make a shift from self-reliance to God-reliance, because God-reliance will give us clarity and peace with every decision that we make throughout our lives. And it's important to know that even though we might work hard and do things that are unto God and we work hard, but even in our working hard, we must still rely on God, because during this time with a lot of prices getting raised up, people with jobs, people that are still making a lot, they still can't really afford eggs and things like that. So even while we're working hard, we must still rely on our Father God. And it says in Ecclesiastes 1:2-4, it really tells the truth in the NIV. It says, utterly meaningless, says the teacher, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. So it's important during these verses that we know that even our own work ethic and our labor, still human toil and labor, that still isn't enough. We must still rely on the Heavenly Father. We still need Him, and we still must rely on Him for every single part of our lives. And in order to rely on Him, we must first get close to Him, and we must know that we are a part of Him. And it's God's plan for our lives to not just achieve what we think we can on our own, but to achieve what He wants us to achieve, and so He can put His super on our natural. And we are a part of Him. And in John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we must remain in our Father God, because if we try to do things on our own, it's not going to bear anything. But as we remain close to God, we're relying on Him, we're trusting in Him, even though we're getting blessed, even when we're healthy and things like that, we constantly rely on Him and make a choice to rely on Him, we will bear much fruit. And it's so important that God wants us to live a fruitful life, a life filled with a lasting impact that only comes from Him. And so we must make the shift from becoming self-reliant to God-reliant. Remember, Self-reliance doesn't pan out, but God-reliant is, has much success and many benefits. And apart from relying on God, is about knowing that us in our human side, it has limitations. But in our spiritual side, with God in our lives, there are no limitations on what our Father God can do. And in Jeremiah 17:7-8, but blessed is the one who trusts in me alone. The eternal will be his confidence. He is like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots beside the stream. It does not fear the heat or even drought. Its leaves stay green and its fruit is dependable no matter what it faces. So as we rely on our Father God, we must know that everything that God helps us to do and as we rely on him is dependable. And out in the world, during these times and price rate being raised and different things are happening, the world is not dependable. And then the gifts and the paychecks and things like that and that the world gives, that's not dependable. But as we have our Father God, he will cause our fruit to be dependable. He is dependable in our lives. And with that scripture, it describes that there's negative effects of things of the world, like drought and things like that, but there are always positive benefits when we are God-reliant. And I have three main benefits of us trusting and relying in our Father God. And the first is confidence. We must not lose our confidence in our Father God, even though we see all these horrible things happen in the world, and it's just so sad. We must be God-reliant that God will keep us, keep our families, keep us from any type of negative effects of law enforcement, anything like that. God will keep us. So we must have confidence. When we live God-reliant lives, we always have a secure source of confidence. Just as a tree sends our roots to find an overwhelming, plentiful source of water, we can be confident in any situation because we know that our God is with us. And then another part of the benefit package of relying on God is courage. God reliance overcomes the fear of the hardest circumstances because we know we have extra strength from God to handle anything that we come up against. And then lastly, it's about change. I know we might not like change all the time, and it can be difficult, but we must know that when we're God-reliant, he's making the way through the change. He's working things out for our good in the change. When we are God-reliant, we are able to produce the fruit, a much fruit, dependable fruit, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what things change. And through that fruit, we can help ourselves and others as God leads. And it's so important that we constantly shift our focus to align on God. And another thing to remember is that all things are possible with God. God knows the desires of our hearts. He knows what we want the most. So we must take that time and rely on him and know that he has got us. And all we have to do is trust in him and rely on him and have faith. In Mark 9:23, it says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." So we must believe. We must believe that our families will be safe, that as we travel to and fro, that God will keep us and protect us. We must believe that God is with us. We must believe that he is good. We must believe that he is for us. And then my final part for the day is we must know that God is worthy to be relied on. He is worthy of our trust. We must constantly, like I said, train ourselves to rely on him when it seems like others might be doing nice things for us. That is so great. We must always be appreciative. We must always be loving and kind. But we must always rely on our Father God because it's because of God. Every gift that we get, everything that we receive, every award, everything, every accomplishment is from our Father God. So we must rely on him. So we must not rely on ourselves, but we must rely on him. And we must know the character of God. We must have the joy and the willingness to trust him no matter what. And my final scripture for the day, which is also Pastor Grandma's favorite scripture and about relying on God and trusting him, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So as we rely on our Father God, he will make all our paths straight. We don't have to worry about there being any roadblocks in our ways or anything like that. God will make it straight. He will turn things around on our behalf. So I pray that our Father God would just change, that God would just turn our hearts towards him constantly, that we will rely on him and trust in him and just know that God's got you. He's got every single one of us, and we can rely on him. God bless you all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. I thank God for that word, Amber, glory to God, of relying and depending upon God. Hallelujah, with all our full trust and confidence in him. Glory to God. I love that message and the three benefits of relying on God, that with confidence, courage, and change. Glory to God. I thank God for that word. We must know the character of God and trust in him with all our hearts. I thank God for that word, Amber, and thank God. I believe that God just put with joy with the flies in the ointment, and how that anointing will kill the flies. He anoints our head with oil, and that God has the weapon that will kill all those flies, a fresh moving of his precious Holy Spirit. And then to come and have the message that we must rely and depend upon God, have our full trust and confidence in him. Thank you for that word. I thank you, Lord God, for that word through Amber today. And then I'm looking at my clock now because it's 12:26. I want to be able to give the word. I pray that we can be able to do it. I can be able to do it in a timely manner and to be able that it might come to the point. When we're seeking God, one of the things that I learned, I told you all this over the years, is that that God will always give you what he wants from his heart. He wants to really share his heart for us as ministers and anybody. I don't care who we are. When the word comes, he said, I'll give you a mountain wisdom that all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And so our place is to seek God for his wisdom. Seek God for his understanding. What do you want to minister on today? What's on your heart, Lord God? What's on your heart and on your mind? Sometimes it might look like, you know, you're not hearing anything, but I tell you, be still. God said, be still and know that I'm God. And wait on him. Look to him, and he will download us and download us with the word and what's on his heart and what he knows is needful for us at this particular time. And so the word that the Lord has had me to share today is the encouraging wisdom of God. The encouraging wisdom of God. In James 1, verses 2, and starting at verse 2, James 1, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But that patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Once we ask God for that wisdom, he said, don't waver. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It says about that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what the word of God says. And we don't want to be unstable in our ways. The Living Bible says it this way. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Dear brothers, is your life, and that's sisters too, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. Now, I had to stop at that. He said, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? The word of God in the King James Bible says, count it all joy. It said, and the Living Bible says, then be happy. Be happy when our life is full of difficulties or full of temptations? It says in verse 3, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. But when you ask him, be sure that you fully expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind.
and every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. Now, that's something. He says that when we ask him for faith, don't be tossed to and fro. Once we say, Lord, I need to know what to do during this time. Give me understanding. Give me your discernment. Give me your know-how, Lord God. Show me what to do, how to do, when to do it. He said, but ask in faith, nothing wavering, so that we will be able to get the answer from the Lord. I want to read that out of one more Bible. In the Amplified Bible, it says, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And that endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Verse 5 in the Amplified says, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstances. There are situations and circumstances that we need to be guided through. And so if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, everyone generously and without rebuke. God, so I'm not going to rebuke you for asking me or blame. He said, without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. He said, but he must ask for wisdom and faith, without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. We're not those that are unstable in all of our ways. We're looking to God. When we ask for God for wisdom, then we let patience have its way. We'll wait on him to show us what to do, the strategy, to show us how to do it, the know-how. Somebody said that knowledge is different from wisdom, because wisdom shows you the know-how to do, one said, know how to do what we need to do when we need to do it. I love today when the apostle was ministering in the Pearl to Ponder today, because there's so many attributes of our God. He's loving, he's kind, he's compassionate, he is wise and understanding. Hallelujah. God wants us to know his name, as the apostle said, his character, his nature. God wants us to know his ways. Hallelujah. She said the love of God is not cold or casual. It's passionate, like a burning fire. That's our pearl to ponder today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold it up by a seal. Place me like a seal over your heart. God said, my love is not cold or casual. It's passionate. That's the kind of God we have. God wants us to so know his ways, to know him as the wisdom, our wisdom, for wisdom in our life. And he said, I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to upbraid you for it. In Psalms 103 and verse 7, it said, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the children of the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate. This is his ways. He's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving devotion. One of the Psalms I love so much is Psalms 145. I love when I read Psalms 145 because it tells why God does what he does. In Psalms 145, verse 6, it says, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing, these are the attributes of God, and sing of thy righteousness. And then verse 8 shows why he does what he does. Why does he heal? Why does he give us the wisdom that we need? Why does he give us the understanding? Why does he move on our behalf? It says the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God is a good God, and he's a God that wants to give us the wisdom that we need. Listen to me now. We're going to read a scripture in a few moments that talks about how Jesus has been made wisdom for us. I'm going to tell you, that's in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go there right now. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse, I'm going to start with verse 23. 1 Corinthians 1, but the key verse in that is verse 30. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews he's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks he's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God Verse 24 says, and the wisdom of God. Jesus is not only going to have the power, but he gives us the wisdom. In verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He said, for you see your calling in verse 26, brother, and I love these verses. Have it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confine the things which are mighty and base things of the world. You had some baseness in your life? And things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, and this is what I love, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Many of us, we will receive that he's made righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And it says that God has been made unto us wisdom to be able to know what to do, how to do, when to do it. He sees the beginning from the end and the end from the middle, everything. But according as it is written, and it says in verse 31, he that glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. When I think about that verse and I think about the verses that I just shared with you about God, I thank God that when I was younger, and I was a young girl, and I maybe only in the fifth grade, they decided to test me. They decided to test what they call the IQ, intelligence quotient. Well, all for me it was that I have a mom and a dad. Mom was a kindergarten teacher for many years, and my dad would just sit every day with me by the light and teach me whatever he knew when I was just 4 and 5 years old. So then they would get all kind of, mom and dad would get all kind of encyclopedias and books. They even had, before you see now, all these books, if we had, we'd probably be rich right now from the comic books that mom and dad, they bought us huge, I'm talking a box that might have been 4 or 5, I'm telling them it was enough for you to get inside of that box when it was empty, to get inside of that box, it was so big and tall, but it was full of comic books. And we read encyclopedias. I would sit there and read encyclopedias and just going from one to another. They used to even give it when you would buy your food at one particular store. You would get a free encyclopedia, and they gave us encyclopedias. So by the time I got in school, I had a great love for reading. So when I began to take these what they call, quote, intelligence tests, IQs, that it was blown out of the water. In fact, they told me at one point it was past the genius. Now, what that mean, I don't know. And I ain't taking no glory in that. All I know is I have a mama and a daddy that had books for us to read, so I wasn't intimidated by the test. And I could be able to understand what the tests were. But intelligence quotient is not wisdom. It's not wisdom. We can have book learning, but no common sense. And God is our common sense. He's our wisdom. He shows us what to do, how to do, when to do it. That's the God that we serve. So in my lifetime, I had sought and looked for people that I said, okay, I can read, I can write, I can see this, but Lord, I want people around me that have wisdom. And I began to look for people that I said, oh, that would have the wisdom of God. But then I found out something. But the wisdom of man, sometimes it's not what you call the wisdom of God. James 3, verse 13 says, who is a wise man? Who is a true wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He said in verse 14, James 3, 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I often like to say, you can say you're walking in God's wisdom and love and be mean as a junkyard dog. Can't do that. Biting and dividing. We can't do it. We can't do it. But the wisdom, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That takes God to be able to build that in us, full of mercy and good fruit. without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Glory to God. So he would say to me, I know that you're looking for wisdom, Helen. And so he began to embed into me 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. Jesus, the word of God says, Jesus has made wisdom unto us. We need to say that. Say that with me. Jesus, that's right, has been made wisdom unto me. We need wisdom? God said, let him ask. He said, I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to abrade you. I'm going to give you, if you'll ask in faith, nothing wavering, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you need. The word of God, when we look every day, each Sunday, as we do the closing benediction, Jude 1 verse 24 says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. In Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3, it says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And then he says, a bruised reed which will he not break. The part I want you to see is, a bruised reed will he not break, and the smoking flax will he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. It says in Matthew 12, it is repeated again. He said, he will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed will he not break. You know, if you look at reeds in the water, it's like a reed that sticks up out the water, and it's kind of bruised up. And the one thing somebody else would do would just break it off. But God said, I won't break you off. You've been bruised. I'm not going to break you off. A smoldering wick will he not extinguish. When a candle is almost going out, he said, I'm not going to take you and snuff it out. He said, because he leads justice to victory. It's important that we know that when we ask God for wisdom, he said, I'm not going to abrade you. I'm not going to break you. I'm not going to snuff you out. He said, but let me ask in faith. With nothing wavering. So we have a willing God, as I close today. We have a willing God who's able to impart to us his wisdom and understanding. Remember what we said at the very beginning. James 1 and verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously, without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. God, and as I heard Apostle say it during that time, God will give us that understanding and strategy, the wisdom. God will give us the wisdom, understanding, and strategy to go forth in this daily life. But we don't want to doubt it all, but we must ask in faith, without doubting, God's willingness to help. We don't want to doubt God's willingness. So we've got to know his character and his nature, to know God is love, he's gracious, he's kind, he's compassionate. He's a God that has a fiery, compassionate love for us. His love is not willy-willy. It's not a cold love, but it's a passionate, fiery love. That's God's willingness to help us. Just for the one who doubts, it's like a billowing surge of the sea. It's blown about and tossed by the wind. But such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, we're not double-minded people. We're not unstable, restless in our ways. And, you know, because one of the things that we think, as I close, I'm closing now, I'm looking at the clock, it's almost 12:45, and I want it to be finished by then. The one thing we've got to know is sometimes we think we ought to just worry and fret and have anxiety. We often think that some people just think, I just got to worry. Even this thing with that young man that was violently and horrifically killed. There are people that, and as a matter of fact, I started trying to look at, there are four videos, but then the Lord said, don't look at that part that he's calling out to his mama. He said, because it'll cause you to worry and fret. Give it over to me. Give that thing over to me. Pray for the family. Pray for the nation. Pray for their peace so that this thing can be, God will be have to be able to bring justice in the midst of it. So we have to be able to give it all over to God. And then say, Lord, give me the wisdom. There's somebody maybe listening today, including myself, that you need to be able, or we need to be able to know what to do, how to do. We need the wisdom of God. We need his wisdom to guide us through decisions and circumstances. Let us ask of God. And he said, I'll give it to you liberally, and I won't upbraid you. God bless you. God bless each one of you. I want to, before I close out, though, I want to be able to give anyone who may be listening to this particular broadcast today at dinner at East St. Louis Christian Center Church, that if you're listening today, and it might be now, it might be somewhere in the future, and Jesus tarries to come. And if you're listening today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, God says, come unto me, all you that labor. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He wants you to learn of him. He said, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. This is the God that says, he so loved the world. And in John 3:16, he so loved the greatness and magnitude of his love for us that he gave the very best that he had to give, which is his precious darling son, Jesus Christ. To whosoever would believe on Jesus, he said, would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. And then in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, he said, you would be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation. And then he wants us to receive him. In John 1 and verse 12, it says, for as many as have received him, to them has he given the right to become children of God. God, I want you to join my royal family. I want you to become my child. I want you to become an heir of mine and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. He says, to as many as have received him, to them has he given the right to become children of God, to as many as have believed on his name. So if you this day, and if you don't know for sure, now remember, I don't want to say remember because I've never said this maybe to somebody before, but I was in church most of my life and didn't know. I grew up in church. But growing up in church and sitting on a pew doesn't make you a Christian no more than it would if you went in a garage and stood in a garage. It won't make you a car. That's not going to make you a car because you're there. But what will make you one is believing on and receiving Jesus Christ and the finished work that he did on Calvary's cross. So this day I ask that if you're listening today and you've never known for sure, and it's not about you just can't have, well, I just say it in my heart, no, say it out your mouth. He said, because if you confess me before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And in another place in the Word says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. Glory to God. And you see Jesus saying, that's my child. Tell an angel, that's my daughter. That's my son. That's my child. Say, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, that's right. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this day I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do believe that God raised you from the dead. This day, I receive you as my Savior, my Lord, my God. I repent of all my sins. I no longer want to go the world's way, the devil's way, or even my own way. Lord, I want to go your way. I surrender my heart and my life to you in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, according to Acts 10 and verse 32, this day I commend and commend you to the word. I'm sorry. You know what? That scripture, I got to go back because I think it's Acts 20 and verse 32. It says, I commend and commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to keep, guard, defend, preserve, and protect you. I commend you. Welcome to the family of God. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. And welcome to, I often say to the ones, welcome to the army of God and to the family of God in Jesus' name. So we thank God for today. Apostle, I'm getting ready to turn it back over to you. We give glory and honor to God. And thank God, Mom. I love you, Mom. This Helen again. I love you, Pastor Mom. And may you have a blessed, blessed day, Pastor Mom. And Apostle, I turn it back over to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We're praising God for the word today through Pastor Price, through all of you. I'll go back and do my little synopsis in a minute. And we praise God for the soul that was saved today, the souls that were saved. Amen. Today and even in the future. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Price. Hallelujah. And I just want to take a moment here for those who receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and those who are looking for a church home, or you know that you want to grow in the things of God. Well, here at God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio, God has given us the wisdom, hallelujah, and we're relying on the Lord, amen, to show us what to do and how to do so that we can grow together. Amen. We may not all live in the same area, but we can still grow together. So I want to invite you to learn and grow with us. Amen. And we have the Get 'em Radio family of broadcasts. Every Sunday, we have church service, and you can get to these broadcasts by calling calling the number 516-418-5699. Amen. And so every Sunday we have church service. This is the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. Hallelujah. And Pastor Price gave such a wonderful history of the church today. Amen. So we meet every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Glory to God. And next Sunday, already is the first Sunday in February. And so on the first Sunday of February, or the first Sunday of every month, what we do is we take communion together. So you bring your communion element, you know, bread, crackers, juice, water, bring communion elements, and we all have communion together. It's always such a special time to remember the Lord and what he did for us. Amen. So we'll be doing that on next Sunday. At the same time, we'll have tag team preaching. So we give people an opportunity to share in the Lord, what the Lord has laid on their hearts. Yeah, he speaks through us, but he speaks through you too. Amen. So we'll be here next Sunday on the 5th of February, the Lord's will. Amen. And you can bring a word, bring a scripture, a topic, and preach for 5 minutes. Hallelujah. You can also read from your devotional, something that you read this week, in the past week, that blessed you so much. We want to hear that as well. If you have a testimony or you want to read some scriptures, you have 5 minutes to bless the Lord, oh, your soul. Amen. And all that is within you. So join us next Sunday, and if this is your the first time you'll say something online, that's okay too, as long as you're blessing the Lord. Amen. So on Mondays we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Navarro. She's out of Ohio, and what she does is she digs into the Word of God and teaches us how to dig into the Word of God as well. And that's every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. On Tuesday, that's our prayer time. We have Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, where we have four people volunteer to pray in tongues. And then we have interpretation of tongues. And I'll tell you what, God has been speaking to us. Hallelujah. We've had so many confirmations among ourselves, and even things going on in the world, we have had confirmation. So join us. Amen. You'll get a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's just such a peaceful time as God is speaking through us and to us. It's such a refreshing time. So join us on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, we got a couple of things we're doing on Wednesdays. And it's the second Wednesday and the fourth Wednesday of the month. They're both of the Wednesday broadcasts are 8 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the second Wednesday, we have our healing service. We have seen some awesome healings. What God reveals, he heals. Amen. What God reveals, he heals. And he reveals through prophecy the ailments that are going to be healed that night. People call in, and they are healed. Amen. So that's, like I said, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and that will be on Wednesday, February the 8th. Then we have a new broadcast that we just started by the Spirit of the Lord, and that is Anointed Pandemic Baby. And that will be the fourth Wednesday in February. So that'll be February the 22nd. So mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Lord is telling us now with these anointed pandemic babies, right now ages from three and younger, it could be four and younger. So what he's leading us to do on the 22nd of February is to pray over all of the children who are ill in any way, any kind of diagnosis that they've been given, whether it's a mental diagnosis, whether it's a developmental diagnosis, whether it's a health diagnosis, you know, call in, tell your friends, your family, if they have children who are going through something in their bodies or even in their minds, and they are young, they're those pandemic babies between, newborn and 4 years old, tell them to call in. God's going to touch them, and there's going to be a healing and a turnaround on the 22nd of February. And that happens to be 2/22/23. Amen? Amen. So let your friends and family know about it. Now, on Thursday, every Thursday, we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. This Thursday, we have an anointed couple out of South Carolina who's going to be ministering to us. And they are on fire for the Lord. Amen. And that is hallelujah. Amen. The Olsons will be with us. Excuse me, Osbournes. Amen. Hallelujah. They'll be with us on every Thursday in February, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Hallelujah. And they are anointed. And we look forward to seeing them. Hallelujah. 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Amen. So, hallelujah. I just want to say again, and please, if you have any comments, press your number one key, and we'll open a line for you. Well, I might just open all the lines when I finish with this, but I want to thank God for the word through Minister Joy, Fly in the Ointment, and I just could see that God was just touching her and blessing her, and he's giving her such an anointing. Amen. Amen. To go back and look, and I had missed this word on Wednesday, and she said, it's okay, Aunt Barbara. I'm going to speak it on Sunday. I was like, woo, thank you, Jesus. I was looking forward to this. So it was just really good. So much about it and going through the family flies. You know, I never thought of it like that. That robber fly is something else, wasn't he? And of course, the butterfly is good too. Amen. All of that was good. And the mosquito. I just learned something as I was listening. And the thing that stood out so much, as she said, was the fly in the ointment was dead. Hallelujah. And that flies cannot live in oil. Glory to God. So it's important for us to have that fresh oil. And, you know, made me think about those, the virgin. Amen. Thinking about the virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins, and why it was so important for them to have oil. Hallelujah. And it's important for us to have oil as well. So thank you. Thank you, Minister Joy. I see your line drop, but you might be listening on another line in the house. Amen. And you know it's after 1 o'clock, so you can't get back in. You can't call back in. So I hope you can hear the word. Be encouraged. God is using you in a great way. And we thank God for Minister Amber. You all have such an anointing in your own way from the Lord, and I'm just so blessed about that. And Minister Amber talked about relying on the Lord and leaning not, you know, relying on him, depending on him, having full trust and confidence in the Lord. I was praying the other day. And the Lord, we, you know, praying over things about Pastor Mom and what they're saying in the rehab and the next steps and all of that. And as I was praying, the Lord said something through me as the word came out. And it was like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding and lean not to anybody else's understanding. Acknowledging God in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And that just blessed me, and it was right along with what Minister Amber was saying, is that we need to have confidence and courage in the Lord, even in the midst of change, because he still wants us to produce fruit during the change. And there's so many things that are changing right now in our personal lives, and in around the nation, around the world. But our confidence is not in what the police is going to do, what the politics are going to do, or politicians are going to do, and all that. Our confidence, hallelujah, is in the Lord, and we're relying on him. Praise God. So thank you for that word, Minister Amber. And then with Pastor Price, seek God for his wisdom. Whoa, and that is so totally important. Amen. Because through his wisdom, we're going to have what we need. We're going to know what to do and how to do. And with that wisdom comes power. Hallelujah. As we follow the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of man, love what the Lord gave you on that. IQ is not wisdom. Hallelujah. Definitely not. Amen. But when God gives us wisdom, power comes with that wisdom, because that wisdom is revelation from him, showing us what to do and how to do it, when to do it. All of that is rolled up in there, and then he walks us through whatever we need to go through. So we have power and authority along with that wisdom, with God's wisdom. Hallelujah. And sometimes we have to wait on it, but his wisdom is worth waiting on. You know, don't take a step without it. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for his word today. I enjoyed this. I totally enjoyed it. And so I'm going to just take a moment now and open up the lines. And if you have anything that you want to say, hold on one moment.
Here on evening
talk. Amen. Just wanted to talk to Ms. Vonda, who's giving mom medicine right now. I wanted to ask her about something, but I can do that later. Amen. So all the lines are open. If you don't want, if you're not saying anything, please.
Love y'all. Bless service, and God bless Pastor Mom and all of you.
Thank you. Okay, love you too. Thank you. Love you all. Anyone else? We're just going to have the lines open for a little bit here. So if you, everybody's line is open, so if you want to say anything. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get ready to close, making sure I don't have any text here. Okay, amen, amen. All right, so Pastor Mom,
yes.
You're awake now. and they've delivered our lunch here in the rehab. Hallelujah. So we're going to get her up and get her some lunch before this, and they just gave her, put her back out to sleep. So Pastor Mom, you want to greet everybody? Say hi.
Hi.
Amen. Amen. I just want to say I do have a prayer request. And so, praise God. We lift up my nephew, Lenny Jr., to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, touching him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you, Lord God, for giving him wisdom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him hear you very clearly so he knows what to do, when to do, and how to do it, Lord God. And we thank you for those that you have sent around and about him to help him, Lord, who have your wisdom. Father God, help him to be able to take advantage of the, or be able to flow with the people who are God sent to help him in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that his mind is functioning in the perfection that you created it to function. Despite the accident that he was in years ago, we thank you, Lord God, that he has the very mind of Christ and that he hears you clearly and follows you. We thank you, Father God, right now for peace all over him, peace beyond all understanding. Guard his heart and guard his mind, Lord God. And we thank you for favor, favor, favor all around and about him with you first, with his family, and with everyone else, and that people will see his name on a piece of paper or on a computer screen and do good and do right by him and not even know him. We thank you for that kind of favor, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, for directing his footsteps according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else? All right. We're going to have Pastor Mom. Okay, you said hi to everybody. And now we're going to have you close us out. May the Lord, between
me and thee
while we're absent, one from another, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 So you got to hear Pastor Mom's voice a little bit this morning. I'll probably take a picture of her and send it out to some of you all. You know, she went to the beauty shop, got her hair done this past week, and her hair is down today. So we'll take a picture of her. All right. God bless you all. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of the day. And remember, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Love y'all.